tell you what, he's none of them. And what he is to us and to me, he's always there. He's always there waiting and to hear from us, and we must always, always, just, if we're nothing else, just thank him. We don't have to go, we don't have to go to him for something. We don't have to go to him with a prayer and saying, you know, we need this to happen or something like that. No, we just need to go to him and just thank him for what he has done for us. And but if you will, turn to your Bibles in the book of Psalms chapter 9. And I think I maybe read these verses here a while back, but that's okay, because the Lord is, he is so gracious. And I sure am glad that he speaks to hearts. And not only speaks to our heart, he is our heart. He is our heart. Because we must do things his way and his way only. But here in the book of Psalms, chapter 9, and right, I hit chapter 37, but it ain't right. Chapter 9. All righty, chapter 9, the book of Psalms, and chapter 1. You know, the book of Psalms is a book that has the most chapters in, 150 chapters, and it's got the longest verse that there is. Longest chapter in this book than any other book, and that's 119. Chapter 119. And there's a whole lot there in 119. But you know, I always like to, when I'm reading the book of Psalms, I like to go back over there and go back and read Proverbs. And then I like to go and back and read about what happened to Job and see how faithful he was to the Lord. Which we got, I think it's three books there. Job, the book of Psalms, and then the book of Proverbs. And I think it'll do us all well to try to at least read all three of them books at least once every maybe 2 months or something like that, because I know it takes a little time to read them. We don't need to just be reading them fast and where we'll forget about the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. We'll be thinking about what we're reading and if we're pronouncing each and every word correctly. But here in the book of Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out that, excuse me. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out thy name forever and forever. O thy enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities, thy memorials is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever, for he hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put thy trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him. If I'm going to title this message, I title it this, and it's in verse 10. Is it where the Lord says that he will never forsake the individual that seeks after him? So the Lord is saying, says, I will never forsake thee as long as you put your trust in me. But when you take away your trust and you start trusting someone else, it's not where the Lord has forsaken me, but it's where I left the Lord at. He's still at the same place as where I left him at. He hasn't moved. He hasn't said, I'm going another direction. But he's at the same place where I left him at. And sometimes he's at the church. We would leave him right here at the church after a service, because the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts about going to the altar. And about going to the altar and praying for somebody, going to the altar by praying for the church, going to the altar and praying about a loved one, going to the altar and just praying for something miraculously. As long as we are trusting the Lord and putting our faith in him, he will never forsake us. But it says right here, says, Lord has not forsaken them that seek him. We must seek him. We must look to him for everything from day one to the ending. Every morning when we get up, we must not even think about the rest of that day. We must think about the very moment right then. And we need to thank and ask the Lord to help us through that day and to give us something that will encourage someone else. See, that's what we're here for. We're here to encourage people. We're here to encourage the people where the people can understand that they care for me. The world don't care anything about me. The world itself, they just come up, they use me. They use me today, they use me tomorrow and everything. But then you have an individual that come up to them and just talk to them. And just ask how they doing. And just kind of just shoot the breeze with them. When not wanting a thing in return. And a whole lot of times people look at and they'll think about it. That's unusual. Because they know that I got money. They know that I got the means to do this. They know that I can go and help somebody else. Because I'm able to do it. I have the equipment to do it. But no, he didn't come and ask for no favor. He didn't ask him to come for something for me to help him with. No, he come because he cared. And people can sense that in our life, that if we care for them or not, and if we want to see them grow, the only way a Christian will ever grow is in doing God's work. Because if we don't do God's work, who are we going to do? We're going to get stagnated. We're going to be right in the same spot all the time. And you can take, take a bucket of water or a glass of water. And you can put ice in that water. And you know that you can take it, you can lift that water up to your mouth. And it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be cold. And you can sit there and you can drink half of it. But if you leave it right then, and you don't go back to it, and if you don't drink no more of it in the next hour or two, you just leave it right there, and you leave it right where you last put it. You leave it there until the next week. When you started drinking, when you had it fixed, when you fixed it. Been in the house. No dust, no bugs, no nothing else that we have in the house. But you look over in it. You look over in it, it's going to look kind of cloudy. And it's going to look like it's got a little film on top. Because it's stagnated. And we'll get stagnated too. We get stagnated into the things that we're doing. Just like that glass of water. That glass of water was not doing nothing. It was just sitting there. Just sitting there. Who was it doing? It was getting stagnated. There's a whole lot of Christians out here that you can look and you can see where they have become so stagnated that they don't even know which ends up. And they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do anymore. Why? Because they're not seeking the Lord. See, the Lord gives us directions. The Lord gives us people to go see. The Lord gives us places to go. The Lord gives us the Word, to where we can get in the Word and read it. Why we get in the Word, we just go in there and we'll just say, I think today I'm going to read in the book of Nehemiah. Who gave me that idea? Who put that right there on my thought? Who put that in my heart for me to turn to the book of Nehemiah and read that? It wasn't my idea. It wasn't my thoughts. It was the Lord's idea. It was the Lord's thoughts. Because we can get in the book of Nehemiah, and we can read where there Nehemiah, he went back to Jerusalem, and they had tore the building down. They had been burned up. But the Lord wanted him to raise the building. The Lord wanted him to go back and rebuild it. And he went around and he was asking people to help him. He was asking people to say, we need to get together and we need to build this back for the Lord. We need to get up and build the walls for the Lord, because the Lord, this is what the Lord wants. And if the Lord wants it, and if that's what he's put on the individual's heart, Do you believe God is, do you think God maybe might answer that prayer? It may be next week, maybe next month, and maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. Yes, I prayed for my brother for 20 long years for the Lord to save him, for the Holy Spirit to quench his heart. And it took that long. Well, see, the Lord allowed him to be here to accept him. Why? It wasn't because of anything that I'd done. It wasn't because of anything that he'd done. It was all about what God has done and what God has taught us to do. What? The Lord Jesus, what he what over in the book of Luke, I believe it is, where the Lord went and had the prayer there. And they went to him and they said, Lord, I just love to be able to pray. I mean, they was asking the Lord to teach them how to pray. Teach them how to pray. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen it on TV. I don't know if y'all even seen it out in public or anything like that. Or in another church that you may have visited over the years or not. But my wife brought up something the other day that we was watching something on the news or something, and I forgot what it was all about and everything. But they had this priest up there, and he's going to lead them all in prayer. He didn't take his Bible and open his Bible. He took a sheet of paper. And he took a sheet of paper and he opened it. And he read every word. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, if you know the Lord, should not we trust the Lord enough just to give him just a little portion of us? Because the thing about it was, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about praying. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know anything about being faithful to the church. I didn't know anything about that I must go and to the church when the church doors is open. And I didn't know what denomination, I didn't know what was going on. And then Sunday school teacher there told me, he says, son, you done the wrong thing right there. He said, you put denomination in it. You'll never find it in the book. You'll never find it between these pages. And you won't. It's not there. That's man-made. There was a man-made prayer. Now, I'm not saying that it was right for him to do it that way. I don't know. But I do know this. I believe if you know the Lord personally yourself, that when you go to him, when you pray to him honestly and openly, then it's going to be words there, and it's going to be a way there that where we just prayed for, that would have never thought about before in writing it down. Because, you know, even when I when I have a funeral or anything, yes, I know that you have to write something down, especially when you got two or three pastors up as preaching the funeral or something like that. And you have to come up with a line for the way the service should go forward. And you got to have it to where, you know, you're going to have this preacher, he going to be speaking first. Then you're going to have this preacher speaking second. And then you're going to have the main speaker. But even that, you don't tell the preacher what they can preach on. You don't tell the preacher what they say. Because if you do, you're not going to be blessed from it. The people's not going to be blessed from it. And nobody else is going to get anything out of it. It has to come from the heart. That's the reason that he took that old stony heart out. That's the reason he put this soft heart in. To where we're not stiff-necked and we're not consumed with one little thing. We're not so consumed with ourselves that we cannot even go in another direction. No, we have to do it his way. And his way is the only way. And if we don't do it his way, we're not going to be blessed from it. I can tell sometimes, I've got up here and I've preached. And the Lord said, well, why didn't you say this? After service. The Lord said, well, why didn't you say it this way? And I get to thank you. And I say, Lord, if I said it that way, the way that you wanted it said, there's a good possibility for someone's heart Someone would be embarrassed. Someone would get upset because of what I said. He says, did I tell you that they'd get upset? Did I tell you that they really got mad? Did I tell you all of that? He says, no. I told you. You get in there and you preach it this way. Sometimes when I'm up here, and I do, and I remember a whole lot of times too, when I'm up here preaching a message, and a whole lot of times the reason it seems like I'm going off in left field or something like that, it's because it's not the first time that I've heard the message. That's not the first time that the Lord spoke to my heart about this particular message. And about certain things that we can get out of the message. But yet, he's asking me, you trust me. You trust me. And when he did, he don't say that to me when I'm first standing up here. He says that to me the first part of the week. He says it to me all during the week. Because it's not the first time I've heard the message. And it won't be the last time. There's not a message that an individual can ever come up with that has never been preached. It may have a different title, but when you come right down to the where the rubber meets the road, It's all God's word. As long as we stay in his word and don't put our ideas in it or anything. And sometimes, yes, I fail the Lord for that. That I will put my opinions in on it. It's not my opinions that it counts. The opinions of the people, even anybody's opinion, doesn't count. The only thing that counts is what he's pinned down for us to read. I don't understand how God can take an individual that has served the devil and used God's name in vain. Out of every sentence, they use God's name in vain. And the idea they drink and they do drugs and they're a bunch of drunks and they run around on their wives and all of that. I don't understand how a God could love an individual like that. I don't understand how God can say, "Son, I love you. He says, son, you, your wife, and your family, I love each and every one of you. I want each and every one of you to get to know me personally. To where any afternoon after I come home from work or whatever what I'm doing, that I can go to bed that night and I can lay my head down and go to sleep with a clear conscience." And I don't think that there's many people today that can do that. There's not many people today that can go to sleep at night with a clear conscience because of what they've done. We need to trust in the Lord. And if I don't trust the Lord, I'm no good to you. I'm no good to nobody. But see, the Lord will use an individual to where they trust him. Because when you trust the Lord, you will say to yourself, and you know, that the Lord will give you the very words that needs to be said to that heart. Because see, he's the only one that knows that heart besides the individual. I don't know that individual's heart. Oh yes, that individual, I mean, they could be living right. They could be doing everything right. They could be doing everything right. And it's really basically nothing I can find immoral about them or anything. I can take them and I can look at the life and place it to the Bible and see it. And I can't even pinpoint anything that way from them. But yet, they are people that don't know him. And they will, I believe the only reason that they do good and the only reason they'll help our neighbor, and the only reason that they will go out here and they'll do something for somebody that needs help, that hasn't come to them and asked for help, I think really probably deep down in their heart, they know that this is what they're supposed to do. But see, it's one thing that they forgot about. They forgot about Jesus. I hear this all the time from people. You invite them to church, you'll ask them where they're saved, or you ask them if they know where they're going, when they take their last breath. And they say, well, no, I hope so. No, just like Bill said in his prayer, it's not a hope-so salvation. It's not a maybe-so salvation. It's a no-so. No. K-N-O-W-N. No. You can know, because that's in the Word of God. Over in the book of James, I think it's the book of James, he speaks about it. The way we can know. If somebody comes up and asks me, just out of the blue, and asks me, says, you know where you're going when you take your last breath? Yes, sir, I sure do. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to meet my Savior. I'm going to meet the one that died for me. But then you got people like that. If they're going or not. But you know something? A God that loves me enough, that is willing to die for me and not ask a thing from me. That right there is something. I don't understand how he can do it. The only thing I can say is, he done it. He done it for me. And he's done it for you. And he's done it for others. And he will do it for every individual that has ever been birthed in this world. Why? Because of his heart. Because of his heart. His heart has a longing so strong that he wants to see people saved. And he wants to see people learning about the Lord. But today, hold on and say, well, I don't go to church nowhere. But you know, I listen to preaching on Sunday morning. I listen to preaching all during the week. I said, yeah, but that, you know something? But the preaching that you've heard has not taught you anything. Because if you really hear the word, it will teach you that you need to be faithful to the local church. And that local church is not that local TV to you. The world people today are putting their trust in. They're trusting more in the TV than they are anything else. They're trusting in that TV, that TV can teach them how to live right. They put their trust in the TV, that the TV would teach them how to go about, I hear, talk to people. But if you come to notice, all the ones that watch the TV, watch the preaching on TV, And Sam, yeah, they get some good preaching on TV. They get some good preachers on TV. Yeah, they may be, hey, they may be solid with the word. They may be preaching that word just right. But you wait. Sometime within that hour's span there, towards the end or even in the middle of something, they don't put their hand out. They said, we are on 300-400 TV stations every day. We are all over this country, all over the world. We don't know that. We don't know they are. Only thing we know is what they say, right? We don't know if they, if the state of Texas down against our station, we don't know. Only thing we know is what they tell us. And really, you can't put no stock in that. But they'll put more trust in that for their livelihood. They'll put more in that towards their family, towards their marriage, toward everything else, according to what they think this book is saying. They said, well, this book says you cannot get saved without the hearing of God's word. You must come and you must hear a preacher preaching his word. And that's what the Bible teaches. I know they're not the same way it's said, but it's basically the same. But yet, they don't want to come and support the local church. You know what I think? I think all the true called by God pastors and preachers that was called by God, and I believe this, that if they are right with God, if they know that book and they know what God teaches it, that they would not do some of the things that they allow to go on in the church. They wouldn't allow nobody to be able to come into the church and stand before the other people. And then the pastor takes and marries them. You know, when you're counseling somebody, you must counsel them according to God's word. First thing you need to do, you need to find if they're saved or not. If they're not saved, then you need to tell them, say, well, hey, you're not saved. And the wife over here, I mean, the lady that go marry, said, yeah, I'm saved. She says, and afterwards, after you talk to him, she'll come to him and say, you know, I'll get him in church. If we get married, I'll work on him. I'll get him in church. No, he's already started working on you. He's going to get you out of church. And that's what usually happens. Then that's when you're supposed to come and say, well, you know what God's word says about that? It says, you don't need to be yoked up together. In other words, you don't need to be together. He says, you're not supposed to be married. And I'm putting it in plain English where people can understand. And that's where I tell people where they can understand. I know sometimes you can go in and you can quote the verse and they will understand it. But a whole lot of people don't understand that. Unevenly yoked together. You go out here and you can ask 100 people to explain that. And you'll get probably 10 or 15 different answers for their question. They don't know. That's the reason that they need to be counseled. That's the reason counsel them one time is not enough. I think you need to counsel them at least three times. The reason I say three times is because you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But, you know, that's me. And I've had the opportunity to marry two people. I've had an opportunity to marry people. But with two people, two individuals that came to me, and I counseled them. I talked to them. I talked to them about the salvation. I talked to them about serving the Lord. I talked about what church they go to or where they go to church. And I don't ask the personal question. I don't ask the question like me and my wife was given. Pastor that married me and my wife, and I, when I left there that day, I told her, I said, he'll never marry me. He'll never marry us. I mean, he asked the question, he says, who's going to handle the money? You know the one that needs to handle the money? Is the Lord. He's the one that needs to handle your financial problems. And I've made mistakes down through the years. And it took me a while to learn it. But I'll tell you, one thing about I have learned, if you give it to God, God, he'll multiply it. He just don't give you what he thinks you need, but he'll give you more than what you need. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, I pray, God, tonight, as each one of us leaves this building, and Father, as we travel to our homes, Father, we pray that you'll give us a safe trip there. And Father, for the ones that has to get up in the morning and go to work, we pray, Lord, that you'll give them the strength. And Father, we pray, Lord, give them the rest tonight that they need, to where that they can do their job with a joy in their heart. And Father, that the people that they work around can sense something in their life that they have never sensed in someone else's life. And Father, we just pray for each one of these individuals. That Father, for all the prayers that they have come to you with, Father, we pray tonight that you will just take each prayer and you'll examine each prayer and see if it was sincere or not. And Lord, and when you do find out that it was sincere, my prayer is, Father, that you'll answer that prayer according to your will. Because, Father, if we don't look at it according to your will, then you can never bless us. Father, go with us. Help us, Father, we may be a witness to someone this week that will draw them into this church. And Father, help each one of us to brag on the Lord. Help each one of us to brag on what the Lord is doing
here at Faith Baptist Church. And Father, you just don't let the people where they will say, well, y'all don't have that many people. And I understand it's really not growing. Oh, yes, it is, Lord. We're growing in you, each one of us. And Father, when you see time, when you see the time, and you see the right opportunity, Father, that you will just bless the people here. Father, I love you with all my heart. And I believe that I can go around to each one of them tonight. And each one of them would say the same thing. So, Father, with that type of love, Father, you don't want to see us. You don't want to see us go backward. You don't want to see this church close. You don't want to see nothing like that. You want to see it grow. You wanted to see it grow with new souls being saved. Lord, help us. Help me, O Father, that I could, that I can try my very best to be one of the best pastors that you have, and it has to be of you. I can thank it, but if I thank it, and if I say that I'm that good, then I'm not doing nothing but hurting myself and hurting the people. So, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, touch these people this week. Bring the people in. We'll give you praise, the glory, and the honor, because you rightly deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Amen.